The Gestalt Gardener podcast is brought to you by Varicosity Vein Center, providing health assessment screenings and compassionate care to improve your vascular functionality and quality of life. Our doctors and vein specialists offer solutions to painful varicose veins, spider veins, and other venous diseases to our patients. Now offering complimentary vein screenings in Jackson, Madison, and Ridgeland. Information and appointment scheduling at varicosityveincenter.com.
Good morning, good morning. Ain't it a great rainy morning? Hey, rain is what keeps us from being West Texas, y'all. Anybody listening from West Texas for podcasts, we're getting rain. Anyway, I'm horticulturist Felder Rushing, and for the next hour, we're going to be talking about gardening. This is Mississippi Public Broadcasting's weekly garden party. We call it the Gestalt Garden. We got the screen door wide open, but the porch is out there keeping the rain from dripping on us. For the next hour or so, it's just going to be talking about gardening. We've got a few events coming up. Some might not be so fun in the kind of rain. Some things you can be doing this time of year, some things I'm doing this time of year, somewhat reluctantly in some cases. But like I say, it's a call-in program. So for the next hour or so, sit back and relax. If you choose to give us a call, whatever's on your garden mind, got questions, comments, rants, raves, whatever. Next little bit here on this last weekend in October, we're going to get a little muddy. Stick with us.
This is an MPB Think Radio podcast.
Okie dokie, folks. Welcome back. Horticulturist Felder Rushing, and it is a rainy day pretty much anywhere in the live listening audience. If you listen by podcast later, this Friday morning is raining. And we went a long time with no rain. Got a bunch of rain a week and a half or so ago, enough to settle things down, but we've gotten a good slow soaking rain. So far, an inch in my garden this Friday morning. It looks like it's going to rain a little bit more. So anyway, this is what keeps us from being desert. It's what makes our trees grow, so I appreciate it. It is going to be kind of slippery out there, so if you get out and about, particularly towards the end of next week for Halloween, be careful driving there, but especially in this kind of rain. You know, we haven't had enough rain, so the roads are a little bit slick with stuff that wears off of people's car tires, so slow down, take your time. You know, we're not in that big a hurry. For the next hour or so, it's a call-in program, so if you want to give us a call, it's toll-free 1-877-MPB-RING. Whatever you want to talk about, if it's even remotely related to gardening. We don't care who your mom and them are. Don't care whether you're horticulturist or dirt gardener. We don't care if you're a normalarian or a bottle treearian or whatever. You know, give us a call. We're going to be talking about nothing but gardening. I can get into horticulture if you want to. I got the background and the college and all that kind of stuff, but I'd rather just keep it real if we can. It's been a beautiful week. Really, really pretty all week. Nice and cool. The dirt has been easy to turn over because of the rain we had last week. It's going to be better next week. So even though you might find a little bit dreary if you go to high school football games tonight or something, you got to wear a Mac or something, that's okay. But the main thing is setting things up to plant. And there's lots of things we can be planting right now. I'm going to take this time because it's kind of wet. The garden centers won't be as heaving as they normally are. So I'm going to go out and spend a little time chatting with the sales folks and the nursery managers, pick up some violas, which are my favorite. You know, a lot of people like big old pansies, and they're pretty. All different colors and faces and all that. But I like the little violas. They're small. They're my favorites are the old-fashioned purple and yellow Johnny Jump-Ups. They've been around forever. They grow great. They're kind of cottagey. They're good filler plants. If you put some stuff in a pot, put a viola around the edge of it, a cascade over. And we're talking about all fall, spring, fall, winter, and into spring. Little violas never seem to slow down on blooming. And there's a cross between violas, little violas, and the big pansies. Weirdly enough, it's called panola. But panolas are somewhere in between. They got medium-sized flowers and lots of them. So if you've got a garden center that carries panolas, they're really, really cool. But anyway, I'm going to also set out some ornamental cabbage, maybe some more kale. I set out some kale last week. It's pretty. When you're tired of looking at it, you can eat it. It's also time to set out garlic and daffodils. If you've never planted garlic before, it grows over the winter. You plant it right now, October, early November. Put it in pots, put it in flower beds, any place where you get sunshine. Doesn't stay soggy wet. It grows over the wintertime, makes foliage about knee-high or a little bit taller. Maybe it'll make a little flower stalk if you want to leave it for the flower, a little golf softball-sized flower, or else just pop it off. But anyway, next spring when the leaves turn yellow or they flop over, turn green and flop over, you can dig them up and you got enough garlic to throw at every vampire that comes your way. So anyway, garlic and daffodils and kale and ornamental cabbage and violas and pansies and whew, so much stuff we can plant. Hey, if you don't have a garden, big garden, you can put all this stuff in a pot. You can put it in a little red wagon. You could put it in a plastic swan. Anything that'll hold a little potting soil that doesn't stay soggy wet, you can plant stuff and have things that are pretty all fall, winter, and spring. Throw a little bit of lettuce. You can even have something to eat when you're tired of looking at it. So anyway, that's a couple of things I'm going to do. I would like to mention before we start taking calls, and the lines are open, toll-free 1-877-MPB-RING. Starting to see a couple of things out in people's yards that always show up this time of year when we have warm days and cool, wet nights. There's a couple of fungi that cause, well, they both cause problems. One you can do something about. One's called brown patch. Brown patch causes circles or curves or patches that have typically a distinct curvy edge to it. Brown patch is a fungus. It's caused by a fungus that spreads outward like a ripple on a pond. So if you imagine throwing a pebble in a pond, watch those ripples go out there. Brown patch spreads like that. And it causes brownish yellow spots and patches in mostly St. Augustine. It can be in other grasses, but mostly St. Augustine. There is a control for it, but this time of year, you know, I'd just probably just let it go and think about dealing with it next year because the grass is pretty close to going dormant. There are some fungicides you can put out in the spring, though, to keep it from coming back. Right now, once it shows up, there's not much you can do. There is a disease called fairy ring. Fairy ring is a fungus that grows very slowly, a foot, 2 feet a year, outward like a ripple on a pond. And as it grows, it's only a foot or makes a circular line about a foot, foot and a half or so wide, and the grass will be yellow or dead right above. So you'll have a distinct dead ring in your lawn, and it spreads a foot or two every year. Not any control for it. Never has been, probably never will be. A lot of people find this disturbing because they want to control stuff. But here's the deal. Fairy ring spreads outward, and if you just leave it alone, the grass will grow on the inside of the curve and follow it as it grows on off the lawn. So think of it as a slow-moving tidal wave type thing, and it'll grow on off your lawn. You can tell at this time of year because when the weather's favorable, cool, wet nights, warm days, you'll see a curve or a circle of white mushrooms pop up. That's a distinctive sign of fairy ring. Pretty little thing, little white toadstools. And like I say, they're in a curve or a circle, real common. Don't eat them, kick them over, or else, better yet, get your little concrete gnome or fairy and sit out there and just enjoy it. That's the reason to call it fairy ring, because they seem to pop up overnight. People say that's where the fairies were partying the night before. You can admire them. You can kick them over. You can wring your hands, but there ain't squat you can do about it. So let's enjoy it if you can. Anyway, fairy ring, brown patch in the lawn. And then the last thing I would like to mention is the rake or not rake leaves. Leaves are starting to fall like crazy right now. The question is, do you rake them or do you leave them? It's like rolling toilet paper. Whichever way you want to go, doesn't really matter. Unless you leave them so thick that they cover up your grass and pack down and they can lead to diseases. So if you've got a problem with leaves, mow them. Run your lawnmower over them, chop them up. They'll actually decompose quickly, feed the soil. They'll feed the worms. They'll feed all sorts of stuff. But they're good for the grass. They're good for the trees. And when they get so thick you can't mow them, then blow them up under the tree or around the trees and use them as a mulch. Anyway, enough of that. We've got plenty of time to take phone calls, but we got a real special guy I wanted to talk to this morning because of so many questions I'm getting about a weird little flower. Let's see if we got Brent. Brent, are you with us this morning?
I'm with you, Felder. Good morning.
Hello, Brent Heath. You and your sweetheart, Becky, from Gloucester. I'm going to say Gloucester.
Dr. Foster went to Gloucester.
There you go. Over in Virginia, the Tidewater, Virginia. And you are, I've been telling people, you're the, if not the top, which I think you are, you're the most beloved bulb expert in the country.
Well, thank you, Felder. I love you, too.
Well, it's just a fact. You know, you're what? Your son, is that third or fourth generation Heath?
My son is the fourth, and he's got all kinds of new things up his sleeve. So,
but y'all,
new
see,
ways to plant bulbs and a lot of fun things.
Well, y'all been growing and importing and pushing and donating and selling bulbs for over 100 years now, I guess.
We have indeed. My grandfather started in 1900.
Wow, wow. Well, listen, I know how this is your big shipping season, plus you do a lot of lectures all over the country and worldwide, but I wanted to run something by you. I'm getting so many calls this time of year, which seems to be late, about red spider lilies, on the coast they call them naked ladies. They're popping up. They're late this year for us.
Wait a minute, Felder. These aren't naked ladies. They're the pink ones.
Oh, I know.
These
I know.
Are naked, these are naked gentlemen. Or in Japan, they call them spider lilies. Or in South Carolina and Georgia, they call them hurricane lilies.
Hurricane, yep.
And they have nothing to do with lilies. They're amaryllis. Isn't it crazy how we call things?
Didn't I hear you say
names we give plants?
Didn't I hear you say one time over in Colonial Williamsburg, they call them British soldiers?
Yeah, they did, because they pop up there, and, you know, they remember the British soldiers.
Oh, yeah.
There,
oh,
so,
yeah. Well, yeah. You know, I usually think of these as blooming for us so over the Mid-South and Lower South sometime in September, but they're late. I guess it's just because it was so dry.
The Lord has to keep us humble somehow, Felder, so he changes the rules all the time, right?
Yeah.
And I think probably the dry weather was the reason they're blooming so late.
Well,
yeah,
they're
right.
They're all over the place right now. The question that I had for you, first of all, I'm holding one of these things up. Each leafless stem has got sometimes seven, sometimes nine individual weird little flowers on them.
Weird. They're just wonderful.
They're strange looking. They got the petals sort of curved back, and then they got these long stamens sticking out. They look like spiders or big red eyelashes.
They do indeed, and they're just wonderful. And one of the most prolific bulbs. Now, you know, most bulbs get planted three times their height deep, but these actually go just neck deep, so they don't follow the general rule. They go a lot shallower, and they multiply quickly, so that clump you're seeing are probably the mother and all of her daughters blooming.
Well, that's the two questions I want to ask you this morning. One is, from a horticultural point of view, everything I read about these says that they're sterile, that they don't set seed. But, Brent, I see them in places where they've never been planted before. They got to come up from seed.
We've got a bunch of them, and they come up in our yard. You know, we never plant them in the yard, but they come up out in the yard. And whether the ants are taking them there or somebody's taking them there, we're not taking them there.
You think after 110 years, you know whether you planted them or not, because you got a few bulbs
indeed
in your yard.
They're coming up all over the place. Now, I do plant additional batches of them all the time because they're so spectacular when they bloom.
Even in the wintertime.
End of the season when not a lot else is in bloom, and all of a sudden that bright red color, it's warm and happy, and they're fun.
I read someplace that the first ones imported to North America back in the 1850s, I think, that they were sterile, but I bet a lot of these are some of the Chinese species that are fertile, and they just tend to spread. Anyway, they're everywhere.
Actually, do you think? I'm not sure that Lycoris radiata is native to China.
The first one imported, the guy, I forget his name, but he brought three bulbs from Japan. But there's a lot of species over there. Matter of fact, I noticed
there are species in China, but they are different in that their leaves don't come until the spring, and they're much broader leaves.
Okay.
So they're even more cold hardy.
Well, I noticed.
I think this is either a mutation that is making seeds or something, because ours sure do. Now, the crazy thing is, we do have several clones. Now, you know, a clone is a selection from the species.
Right.
We have some that bloom at the end of July or end of August, and then we have some that ended in October, in early October.
Well, I noticed
we have that much bloom time, but they're not all the same. They differ slightly.
Yeah, I noticed in your catalog that you have also yellow ones and white ones and some that get a little purple blush, all that kind of thing. Well, let me ask, this is a big thing, and I know how busy you are this time of year, but my big question is, I've been telling people the best time to dig them is when you can see the flowers. Go ahead and dig them and move them then, but apparently if you don't do it right, they're going to skip a year blooming.
And, Felder, I think you're right on, because do it when you can see them, then you won't spear the bulbs.
Yeah.
But do it right after flower, but before their leaves come up, because after flowering, their leaves come up. And you want to get some soil with them and try not to break the roots. If you let them dry, if you let the roots dry out, that's when they skip blooming for a couple of years, and that's when they call them resurrection or surprise lilies.
You forgot about them.
They'll wait sometimes 3 or 4 years, and you'll forget you planted them there, and all of a sudden they pop up and bloom again.
So if you're going to get them right now, go ahead and get them and keep them moist and plant them right away.
Indeed. Now, when we ship them out, we wait until the foliage is dying.
In the spring.
And then we dig them and we ship them to you right in late May or June.
And they don't know they've been dug.
Them out to people.
They don't even know they've been dug that time because they're dormant.
That's right. And we pack those roots in some nice peat moss so they don't dry out.
Yeah. Well, listen, Brent, I'm going to give details about your catalog in just a second. But the main thing is I just wanted to double check with you to see, am I crazy? Are these things spreading by seed? And all the experts say they don't.
Spreading by seed, Felder. And you know, I've got friends who say it's not possible, but
tell that to Becky.
The Lord doesn't always follow the rules that we make. And you know, the other neat thing about them, they're amaryllis plant family members. All amaryllis plant family members are critter-proof, but you don't have critters down there, do you?
Oh, we don't have squirrels or armadillos,
no,
or we don't have...
We don't have armadillos, but...
And squirrels. But this is one thing they will not eat. So
they do not eat any amaryllis plant family member because they taste so bad.
Yeah.
And they're actually poisonous, but you don't have to worry about kids or animals eating them because they taste so bad.
There you go. Well, listen, before I let you go, I want to let you know I give full credit to your changing a word that I've used. I've always talked about plants, Latin names, and common names. So you taught me to don't call them common.
Let's have fun.
Fun they names.
People's other names, nicknames, so why not plants?
Yeah.
People might relate to that better.
Or folk names. Huh? Whether you call them naked ladies or British soldiers or spider lilies, ain't they fun?
That's right. Garden is meant to be fun. We need to start playing in the garden.
Well,
fun. It's good for your health, good for your mind, feeds the soul, you know.
And good for kids, too. Good for kids.
Indeed.
Well, thank you, Brent. I really appreciate it. I know how busy you are. I'll tell your sweetheart, Becky, that I said hey, and we'll see you soon.
And give mine to Susan as well. I'm looking forward to it. The sleep number bed's ready for you.
Okay, Brent. Thanks you so much, man. See you later. Okay, folks, that was Brent Heath. Oldest bulb growing family since early 1900s. If you want to check out their catalog, BrentandBecky'sBulbs.com. BrentandBecky'sBulbs.com. We're going to be back with more of the Gestalt Garden and some phone calls right after this. I'm horticulturist Felder Rushing here at Mississippi Public Broadcasting. And hang on, Bart, you're up next. Okie dokie, folks. Welcome back. Horticulture's Felder Rushing. Got some announcements to make, some things coming up, but we got a guy named Bart who's been hanging on forever from Memphis. Bart, thank you so much. What's on, man? What's up?
Well, thank you for taking my call.
Oh, sure.
We're enjoying a little bit of that rain today in Memphis.
About time.
Yes, sir. I've recently gotten interested in muscadines. And want to give them a shot, but I don't know where to start or how to get going. I don't know anything about variety, soil prep, planting time, any of that stuff.
Well, the first muscadine I advised that I planted, I grew from cuttings. We're talking about 1978. We're talking about a long time. My family had the oldest winery in the state since Prohibition. So I know a thing or two about Muscadines. And let me tell you, first off, if you want a little bit more detail, send me an email. I can, I'm not going to bury you in the information, but if you'll send me an email, I can get more detail about this. But in a nutshell, they need sunshine, and each vine needs about 20 feet of wire to grow on. You know, you'll go online and get confused about all the different ways you plant them and train them and trellises. To me, the easiest way is put a row of posts out there with a single wire about chin high and put a vine every 20 feet and grow it like a T or a Y, 2 10-foot arms. And if you can do that, you can keep them pruned easier, you can pick them easier, and they can produce 80 or more pounds per vine. So, you know, single wire is my recommendation, 20 feet apart. And as far as varieties, there are self-pollinating varieties and there are female varieties. And females won't make berries unless you got a self-pollinating variety nearby. So be sure you plant at least every 2 or 3 vines is a self-fertile or self-pollinating variety. And I can give you names like Carlos and, they're Noble. You know, some really good common, but you need to have at least some or self-pollinating varieties with the others. Other than that, a vine every 20 feet on a single wire, and that's the in full sun. That's the main thing you need to know, just to get your juices going.
Okay, what about the feeding them? Is there
These are all cultivated varieties of a native vine. They don't need a lot of fertilizer. They don't need a lot of water. Matter of fact, too much fertilizer can cause them to be all vine and not have a lot of. So basically, you put them out there, and once every year, just scatter a little bit of fertilizer out around the trunk, away from the trunk a few feet. And that's really all they need, a real light once a year, but they got to be pruned every single year or else it will quickly overwhelm you. It takes me, just to give you an idea, it takes me about 10, 12 minutes or so per vine to prune them. So you need to figure that in when you're, how many do you want to prune every winter? But in general, sunshine, 20 feet apart, good varieties, fertilize them. And if we get a really hot, long dry spell, a good soaking every 2 or 3 weeks.
And, plant in the spring?
If you get these as container-grown plants, you can put them out anytime you want. You know, if you want to put these out, you can actually plant the vines 20 feet apart in a straight row this fall or this winter before spring, and then get around to putting your trellises up later. But I go ahead and the main thing is a post every 10 feet, a vine every 20 feet, and a single wire about chin high. And as soon as you can start planting them, the better they'll be established before next summer. But container-grown plants you can put out any time, Bart.
Well, thank you very much. You've got me excited. I'm ready to get going, and you'll see that email here shortly.
Do that, because this is something. It's not as complicated as all that online stuff. Trust me on this. You know, I know the online stuff. I know what the fruit science people say because I study fruit science. But I'll tell you how me and Mama do it.
That's what works.
Okay, Bart. Appreciate it, man.
All right. Thank you.
You bet.
Goodbye.
Okay, now let's slide over to Oxford and talk with Joseph. Hey, Joseph. Good morning.
Hello, sir.
Howdy.
Hey, I have a question about the good old southern tree, the crepe myrtle.
Mm-hmm.
So I bought 2 peppermint-laced crepe myrtles off the internet, planted them in the spring. They're doing wonderful. Now I want to take cuttings from those 2 and bring them inside to the greenhouse. We got a greenhouse inside with the UV lights and temperature control and all that.
Mm-hmm.
Is now a good time to take the cuttings, and will the plants have time to heal themselves before winter comes?
Yeah. Well, first of all, you're overthinking this a little bit. Every crepe myrtle that's ever been sold by anybody anywhere all over the earth has been grown from a pencil-sized cutting stuck outside in the winter, outside. Just like roses, altheas, all these deciduous blooming shrubs, they root from cuttings about the diameter and about the length of a pencil. You're not the real skinny stuff and not the real thick stuff, but a good long branch, you should be able to get 2 or 3 cuttings about the size of a pencil. And they're stuck in some you can do it in some potting soil if you'll add a little real dirt to it to kind of firm it up. So potting soil, a little dirt, in pots outside in a protected place over the wintertime. You know, not where it freezes or too much sun, but basically where they get exposed to the cold temperatures. This way the deciduous plants root. And so I would wait till the leaves start to show some color. If they haven't already, wait till fall, till the leaves fall off. So November, December, January, those are good times to take cuttings. And I have rooted thousands of them before I ever went to college and studied plant propagation, worked at a garden center, a wholesale nursery. And we just stuck them in, you know, two or three per pot, put them outside, threw a bunch of leaves over the pot to protect them from freezing. And in the springtime, they were ready to go.
And what about rooting hormone or honey? Have you heard of dipping the cutting in honey?
I have heard everything you can imagine. And the people who do this for a living don't do that stuff.
Okay.
So, you know, if you wanted to dip the fresh cut ends in some rooting hormone, you can. And it will help. Let's say out of 100 cuttings, if you don't do anything, you're going to get 60 or 70 will root. With the stuff, you might get 75 or 80. So it just depends on whether you want to do that. But the main thing, stick them at least halfway in some pretty good potting soil that's got a little dirt. Or else, if you've got a nice sunny flower bed that doesn't have anything in the wintertime, you can stick them in the flower beds and dig them up in the spring. They'll be rooted, just like roses.
Interesting. Thank you so much.
Okay. I got to throw this out, Joseph. Not so much for your benefit, because you can do this because you want to, but for everybody else listening, I am no longer recommending crepe myrtles to be planted in the South, because of a new insect that is devastating them across the South. We do not have a good and absolutely no long-term control for this new Bart scale. And it's already in Oxford, but this is a devastating insect. We don't have a good control for it. And if you want to plant them, just understand that you're going to have to treat them with powerful insecticides every spring for the rest of their life. I'm just throwing that out. Not trying to be negative. I'm just trying to give you a heads up, because if I didn't, I'd feel guilty, and you might be mad at me later.
The Bart scale?
Yeah, scale. If you go to my website, my blog site, Felder Rushing Blog, I've got a thing about Bart scale, what it is, what it looks like, what they're recommending, and I'm talking about the very latest information, and it's looking bad. It's looking bad.
Wonderful. I'll check it out. Thank you so much.
Again, not trying to be negative, just throwing it out as a heads up. It's my responsibility. All righty. Before we get some cheesy music, before we do that, let's talk to a guy that I think I know. Is this Jerry Palmer?
Yes, sir.
Hey, Jerry, you've been growing red spider lilies and all sorts of weird bulbs and selling through the market bulletin forever. You got any this year?
Oh, yeah, man. I've got a field full of them, brother.
And when you dig them and send them out that day so they could be fresh. As long as people get them right in the ground, they should do okay.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. Plant them ASAP, and you know, they go from there. But if I could, the garden I take care of in Madison is an old home site, and there are actually some, like you said, Brett said, that start blooming in mid-August, and the ones that I planted there are starting to bloom now or finishing up their bloom.
Yeah.
But the real note is I actually have collected some seed from one of them, and it looks like the little buckshot seed that was on the old cannas.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I thought that's pretty interesting. But also, you know, a little selfish moment here, put in a plug for the locally grown red spider lilies at Rose.
Absolutely. And, you know, and I know that you're in the market bulletin, Mississippi market bulletin, where they can get online, but is there an easy way to get in touch with
you? Yeah, you could Facebook Jerry Palmer or Facebook Lycoris Rose Southern Heirloom Bulbs, or, you know, just Google it, and I believe it'll pop up, or, you know.
Okay, but there'll be a Jerry and a Palmer in there someplace, right?
Yes, Jerry Palmer. And then also, you know, you go back on your, you know, the archives on MPB, and there's the segment that we did a couple of years ago that's on there.
Yep. But and also, if they just want to, you know, more specific information, the Mississippi Farm Market Bulletin. Well, let me ask you this, Jerry. You've been living out there out in rural Rankin County for a long time. Do you have them coming up where you know they weren't planted?
No, actually, I don't, Felder. It's curious to see that not happening, and I think the jury's still out on maybe some of them do seed,
But the ones that I have out here, you know, I've collected literally from all over the South.
And when you collect them, you're going to get the prettiest ones you can steal. I mean, that you can rescue.
Well, or the ones that are right in front of me.
Listen, I was
The little ones are, you know, they could be size of a dime, and they'll grow up and produce, you know, bloomable balls in time.
But if they want to plant them this time of year, I think the main takeaway is get fresh ones, get them locally grown. You know, Brent grows them in Virginia, but they got to be shipped from Virginia. You got them right here in Rankin County. And if people dig the hole when they order them, as soon as they come in and throw them in the ground, they could bloom next year.
Yes, exactly. And I've had that success with them. I mean, you know, I'll ship them in the box. May actually be damp by the time you get them, just from the moisture that's still out there on.
I think that's the way I've been messing up. I've been letting them dry out, you know, leaving them in a pot forever. And also, I've been planting them too deep. Brent says plant them shallow.
Yeah, that was an interesting point there also, you know.
All righty, man. We got to do some cheesy music, Jerry. Good to hear from you, man.
You too, fella. Be safe.
All righty, that was Jerry Palmer. He lives out from Rankin County. Jerry and I go way back. We've always been plant collectors around our old home site, plant rescues, organized plant rescues, but he's got these locally grown red spider lilies too. I was taking a walk yesterday. A good friend of mine named, let's just call him Steven, stopped by. He was driving down the road. He stopped, rolled his window down, and he had a pot full of these things. He didn't dig the balls. He had just cut the flowers for cut flowers, and he had a pot full of them. Anyway, what a great plant. And I want to throw this out. Spider lilies are southern plants. They won't grow up north. They will freeze outside the South. So they're ours. I'm going to take a real quick break. Got some cheesy music that's appropriate this time of year. We're going to come back with some announcements about things that are going on this weekend and next week. Stick with us, folks. I'm horticulturist Felder Rushing here at Mississippi Public Broadcast. Me and Java and Jamie will be right here waiting on you.
Raindrops are falling on my head, and just like the guy whose feet are too big for his bed, nothing seems to fit. Those raindrops are falling on my head, they keep falling. So I just did need some talking to the sun, and I said I didn't like the way he got things done. Sleeping on the job, those raindrops are falling on my head, they keep falling. But there's one thing I know, the blues they send to meet me won't defeat me. It won't be long till happiness steps up to greet me. Raindrops keep falling on my head, but that doesn't mean my eyes will soon be turning red. Crying's not for me, 'cause I'm never gonna stop the rain by complaining, because I'm free. Nothing's worrying.
Okie dokie, folks. Welcome back. Horticulture's Felder Rushing. And before we take our phone calls, we've got some lines over. You want to give us a call, 1-877-MPB-RING. Let me mention that last weekend I had the most fun at Little Poplarville, Mississippi, down in southwest Mississippi. I had so much fun. They had the Poplarville Sweet Tea Festival. It was great success. A lot of vendors, a lot of tea, and barbecue and all that. But it was really good people. I sold a few books, but mostly I hugged a lot of necks. Saw a lot of folks who tune in to MPB, and we appreciate that. That's what we're here for, is having a good time and sharing what we know. Anyway, drank a lot of tea, ate a blueberry banana fruit bar. It was stayed with Don and Jeff, the Pearl River Tea Company guys out there, blueberry farm. And just a wonderful time. You know, I was raised in a small town, and this was small town personified. We had everybody knew everybody and had a lot of laughter, a lot of music. Anyway, appreciate that. A couple of things I've got. You may know of some things going on that I can help promote, but the two things I've got on my radar right now. One, Unfortunately, it may not be the best time for it, but tomorrow morning, Saturday the 26th, the old Dolphin Way plant swap is at the Central Pres Church at the corner of Ann and Dolphin Streets in Mobile. It's a lot of fun. It's easy. It's free. Starts at 10 o'clock, though, so, you know, the weather may have moved out by then. But anyway, if you have a plant to swap, take it. If you don't, they got plenty. Anyway, that's tomorrow morning. Next Thursday, on the 31st, Halloween Day, I'm going to be at the Flora Library, Flora, Mississippi, between Jackson and Yazoo City up Highway 49. They have the oldest plant swap in the known universe. And we always have a whole lot of fun. There's usually 40, 50, 60 people there swapping plants, some unusual stuff, unusual people all getting along, mingling, mixing, and having a great time. And again, it's free. You don't have to dress up. You don't have to be anybody. Just come on. That's at the Flora Library on October 31st, Halloween. Starts at 9 o'clock, so get there a little bit ahead of time. See you there. Now, let's talk to Vinny. Vinny's calling from Bailey, Mississippi. And Vinny, I'm not sure where Bailey is.
It's Belleville.
Belleville. I don't know where Belleville is.
Oh, it's like 15 miles north of Meridian.
Okay. Oh, we talked last week.
Yes, we did. And I was going to email you, but then I didn't get the correct email address.
I got you.
So did you find anybody? Did anybody call about horsetail?
I did, but also I've seen another plant that I think might be a different plant that we're calling horsetail. You know, I looked around. If you could send me an email, Vinny, I've got a couple of pictures I'll send you back of two plants that I think it could be. One is what I call horsetail. One is what some people call umbrella sedge, and it looks like a horsetail. But there's another called papyrus plant. There's a stalk with looks like a horsetail flowing out of the top of it.
Oh, okay.
And that's the old papyrus plant, papyrus plant, whatever you want to call it, from Egypt. And it's a great plant too. But well, that's what I'm saying. I'll send you if you can send me an email, I'll send you some pictures of these, and then we can take it from there.
Okay, all right.
Did you get the email?
Yeah, the young lady gave me your email address.
Jamie, yep.
Yeah.
Well, good. Well, send that to me because I was thinking about you this whole past week, and every time I saw it, I said, I bet that's what she's talking about, but didn't know how to get in touch with you.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Let's have some fun, Vinny.
All right, thank you. Have a blessed day.
Okay, next time I'll remember where Belleville is, maybe.
It's Delville.
Delville. D-E-L-L or D-A-L-E?
D-A-L-E-V-I-L-L-E, Mississippi.
I got you.
On 39, Highway 39 north of Meridian.
Yeah, hit it up towards
the
there you go. Oh, great. Well, listen, shoot me an email.
Okay. Have a great day.
Thank you, Vinny. Appreciate it. And by the way, folks, I think, I'm not sure, because I lost some. I found some the other day when I was trying to clean them. So I think I'm caught up on my emails. But if you know somebody who said that Felder doesn't email back, have them get in touch with me, because I think I'm caught up now. I'm just not sure. Meanwhile, let's go to Tupelo. Hey, Ken, good morning, sir. I think, is this Ken or Billy?
Ken.
Ken, howdy. What's up?
Listen, I was over at the old home place at Gobi in Yellowbusha County yesterday, and I picked up some walnuts, and I was wondering if I could throw them in a pot, and I wondered if you got any tips for growing walnuts, because I did that the other year, and I got one that survived out of about half a dozen, and I was wondering if you had any tips.
Yeah, a couple of things, and two of them are positive. One's going to sound negative, but it ain't negative. First of all, pecans and walnuts and those things, they have to go through two specific things before they'll sprout. They have to think they've been laying outside all winter, exposed to cool temperatures and moisture. So you got to make them think they've been outside all winter. So when you pot them up, put them outside. You know, they want to be exposed to cool, moist, chilling temperatures for several months before they leave the sprout. And you can do this, Ken, by putting them in a plastic bag with a barely damp piece of paper towel. Not enough to keep them wet, but humidity, and throw them in the refrigerator for 3 or 4 months. They think they're laid outside. The humidity from the damp paper towel, and the refrigerator temperatures will mimic what nature normally does. That way you have more control over it. And the squirrels and mice aren't likely to dig them up. So they need those two things before they'll sprout. You could put them in pots, set them outside a protected area where they get some rain, but, you know, don't turn into solid ice, and you'll have more success. The negative sounding thing is from seed to fruiting maturity might take 7, 8, 10 years.
Right.
So that's the reason when you buy them, they're grafted. They'll take mature wood off of a mature tree and graft it onto a seedling. That way you got instant results. But from seed, they go through a juvenile phase just like caterpillars and teenagers.
Well, are walnuts, are they like pecans? Like if you plant them from seed, you never know what you're going to get.
Not so much, because there's not a lot of varieties of walnuts out there. A lot of different kinds of pecans and peaches that'll cross-pollinate, but with walnuts, they're pretty much just walnuts.
All right, and when it comes time to plant them, just take them out of the pot and stick them in the ground.
Or just plant them, you know, just like you would a potted plant. You know, you don't want to bare root them in the summertime, but, you know, when they sprout, you know, you might even want to put them in the refrigerator in that plastic bag, a little damp paper towel, and plant them where you want them to grow in the spring and let them just sprout where they want to be.
Cool.
You know, it's worth a try.
All right. Well, thanks a lot,
Felder. Good luck on it, Ken. Hey, call me back in 7 or 8 years. Let's talk about it.
You bet.
See ya.
Bye-bye.
Okay, now let's go up to Columbus. Hey, Billy, good morning, sir. Thank you for holding.
Sure. Felder, this is Billy Cox.
Yep. Howdy.
How are you doing?
I'm just drawing a blank. If my coffee hasn't kicked in yet, so
I used to.
Oh, okay. Yeah. It's been a long time.
It sure has.
Well, what's up? What can I help you with?
Well, I work in Washington, D.C., and I'm with the U.S. Department of Agriculture.
Uh-huh.
But I'm driving from, I came down here because I manage our family's farm in Columbus.
Right.
And I was just leaving the farm, and I'm going to pick my brother up to take him to the dentist. But my question is, I came down, my brother is a disabled veteran,
mm-hmm.
and he lives in Starkville, and I'm trying to redo his yard, okay? It just got into a bad situation.
Right.
It's about, you can see the baseball and football stadium from our back window there.
Right.
Now, I came home, and I'm redoing his front yard, okay?
Right.
And I'm having the driveway redone with gravel, and the yard has just gotten where the St. Augustine has grown over. The years ago, some kind of insect killed a lot of the St. Augustine.
Right.
With me trying to redo his yard, I'm trying my best. I don't know how to get the St. Augustine established again.
Yeah. A couple of these. First of all, it's really too late this year because it takes a month for St. Augustine to get established, and we don't have a month before it goes dormant. See, so the best thing to do would be to let the tree leaves fall on it, kind of work up the dirt a little bit, and then plant it sometime in the late winter or spring or early summer. Because, you know, you can lay solid sod out there right now, but it's going to just sit there till spring. And it's likely to dry out in the if we have a week and a half of sunny weather in the wintertime, it won't have any roots. Yeah. It can freeze or dry out even in the wintertime till it gets roots. Around the 1st of September is kind of the general cutoff date for grass having time to get established before winter. So we're looking next spring here.
So give me a date here. I mean,
sometime in April. You know, I mean, you can lay it, you know, March, April, May, early June, but, you know, the later you wait, the more it's going to have to be watered. So, you know, late March, sometime in April, those would be great time. And you can only get St. Augustine from pieces, either sod or chunks or individual plants, but it doesn't come from seed.
Okay, I got you. Well, then we're going to have a yard of St.
Augustine, okay?
Yeah.
Now, more questions?
Okay, for some reason, Billy, you know, I can't hear you. You're cutting in and out. So I think we just lost a call. Anyway, y'all could tell it wasn't me. Billy, give me a call back sometime or shoot me an email. Shoot me an email. That's the best way. And by the way, if you're up in Washington, D.C., bless your heart. I don't care who you are or what you are. If you're in Washington, D.C., bless your heart right now. shoot me an email, though. We can help you with that. But I just bought you some time, so you and your and tell your brother I appreciate his service. I'm a veteran. My son's a veteran. My dad's a veteran. We appreciate his service. But I just bought you some time on the grass. Got till April for us to work that out. Shoot me an email, folks, anytime you have questions. garden@mpbonline.org. I think I've caught up on my emails. If you know of somebody I might have missed, have them get back in touch because I'm wide open right now. Hey, me and Java and Jamie having a good time bringing this garden party to you. Won't you join us? We got time for some more phone calls. It's toll-free 1-877-MPB-RING. Lots of stuff we can talk about in the next few minutes. We'll be right back. Okay, though, folks, welcome back. While we're queuing up this next phone call, let me share something from a book called Frankenstein. Some of you have seen the movie. You've seen Young Frankenstein. A lot of people don't realize Frankenstein was a doctor, but his monster was a thinking creature. Here's a quote from Victor Frankenstein's monster self-description. This creature said, "The world to me is a secret which I desire to divine. Curiosity, earnest research to learn the hidden laws of nature, and a gladness akin to rapture, and among the earliest sensations I can remember, there is a love of the marvelous, a belief in the marvelous, which hurries me out of the common pathway of other men." From Frankenstein's Monster. Let's go talk with Debbie. She's calling from Wesson. Hey, Debbie, good morning.
Good morning.
What's up?
I have a two-part question about ornamental cabbage.
Okay.
Is it edible, and if so, does it taste like cabbage?
It is, and some cabbage doesn't taste all that great. It is a cabbage. You could eat it. It's too pretty to eat, but if you have to, go for it. But, you know, why not just set your collards out beside it so the collard looks pretty, and then you can enjoy the cabbage, and the collard's all eaten up, then eat your cabbage.
Because I have a little above-ground garden thing that's small.
Uh-huh.
And I have to have a place for my lettuces, too.
Well, think about this, Debbie. If you could find it, there's a type of kale, K-A-L-E, that's called Tuscan blue kale. It's got the Lacinata name, but Tuscan blue kale. It looks like a cross between cabbage and collards. It is so sweet and so pretty. It gets knee-high or taller, break out the lower leaves. It's just sweeter than cabbage or collards, and it's pretty. And it's a real productive in a small space.
And it would shade my lettuces, right?
Yeah, but not too much.
Okay.
Anyway, give that one a try. But, yeah, you can eat the ornamental cabbage. They're too expensive to eat. If you're going to do it, let me give you a hint. Bacon grease.
Okay.
See you. Bye.
Thank you very much.
You bet. Okay, let's go to Ridgeland. Hey, Dorothy. Good morning.
Hello there, Southern. A great show this morning.
Thank you.
This is a little off the garden topic, but anyway, I want to ask about yard moles.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the little creatures.
Right. That hump up they make a little tunnel, the little humped up trails.
Right.
Yeah.
And tunnels.
Yeah, here's the deal. If it is a mole, and they, you know, they make up the little rows that humped up like a, you know, like in the comics, like in the cartoons,
right.
Mm-hmm. there is not a good repellent. There's not a good control. They will sell you everything from poison peanuts to spearmint gum to gasoline, all sorts of stuff. The only surefire way to control them is to get one of these plunger-type mole traps and follow directions. It says how to set it and how to tell where to set it. That's the only thing that we know will control. And I've heard everything, but we know that the only surefire control one of these traps. And you can, you know, you might be able to borrow one from a vet. I don't know. But anyway, they've got them at all the box stores. The other thing is they really don't hurt anything. They eat worms and grubs and stuff like that. And they bother us and they can turn your ankle, but they really don't hurt anything in the big picture. So you might want to think about just living with them.
I'll try.
Well, I mean, you know, hey, that works about as well as anything. But anyway, the mole type trap, everything that they sell, repellents and poisons, we know for a fact that they work for about 1 out of 10 people. That means nine out of ten people are get really mad about it.
Okay. Thank you.
Hey, by the way, have you got an old cat or a little dog?
No, I do not.
Because of course they do more damage than a mole will, but a cat or a dog will bring it set it on your pillow for you.
Okay, I have heard that. Okay.
If you need some more information, I'm not trying to be negative, but really, live with them or get you one of those traps. That's about it. And other people can say, I don't know what I'm talking about. You decide.
Okay, great.
Thank you, Dorothy. I do appreciate it. Whew, we've had a flurry of calls. Enjoy talking with Brent Heath. My friend Jerry Palmer, who digs bulbs out for Rankin County, he'll be glad to share some with you. Got to go online to figure that one out, or shoot me an email. I'll put you in touch with both of these guys. And the email is real easy, garden@mpbonline.org. I think I'm caught up on my calls. I'm not quite sure, but I'll do my best to catch up if you'll shoot me something. Meanwhile, it's a great day to stay indoors and drive. If you got to get out and about, take it easy. Drive carefully, especially on Halloween night. Hey, go visit a garden center. See what they have for your fall, winter, and spring. I'm thinking violas and cabbages and kales and stuff like that. Hey, take a kid or a neighbor with you. Look for a pot full of something pretty, something that'll be good to cook when you're tired of looking at it in cold weather. Take a kid to a farmer's market. This is a great time to go to a garden center or a farmer's market. Take a kid with them and help them pick out something, a bulb, a pansy, a viola, anything to show kids what we love to do and how we do it best. And I teach them how to get dirty. Horticulture's Felder Rushing here at MPB. We'll be back same time, same place next week.